to talk about some very basic things, though, about getting us along to be able to run that race that God has for us. And this will come on the screen, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 7 and 8. It's the Apostle Paul writing at the end of his life. I've got many scriptures this morning. I've got that bookmark for you. I trust that you will keep those, because these things you need to be able to not only know these some basic things, you need to be able to teach people these things and to lead people in the things that I want to share with us briefly this morning. But 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. And this is the Apostle Paul that is writing. It's at the end of his life. He's coming, dies not much longer after this, writing this particular passage. And it's really him talking about his life and how that he has lived his life. And how are you going to live your life? Because you've got one life to live and you want to maximize that life. You want to be everything that God made you to be. And he writes this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And it's somebody who's actually achieved that in his life, to be everything that God has made him to be. And certainly that's what our heart is, that we're going to be everything that God has made us to be. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Very powerful words that he has, he says to us. And I have finished the race. I want to talk about getting going in the race that God has for us in our lives. Because if some people will get to the very first part of the race, some to the second part, some to the third part. But it's only when we hit the third part when we're really ready to go and hit the rest of the race that God has for us. And I'm really going to talk about the beginning of the race, the beginning of some very basic things in our lives that we need to make sure they're in order, in place, to help us to be everything that God has made us to be. So I want to talk about being ready, set, and then to go. Because we want to go out into all the world and preach the gospel as the Lord has mandated us to, as he's called us to do. So three very simple, basic things this morning. But if you don't have these things in place, it's going to make it very hard for you to run the race that God has for you and to be able to run it well and to be able to finish well. Some people start well, they don't finish so well. I'm not going to talk about other things that we need in our life. We need character. We've got to grow in the character. We've got to learn sacrifice. We learn service. We've got to live a life of compassion. We've got to be motivated with a heart that glorifies God, to live our life purely to worship and to glorify the Lord. I'm not talking about those other things. They're a part of the race. They're a part of all that God would have for us in our lives. But some basic things. And first of all, it's just to be ready. And ready is to be ready with someone that is ready to stand before God. Paul talks about a judge, about a righteous judge. And every one of us will stand before the righteous judge, our Father in heaven, at some time. And we're all going to die sometime. And Elder Lewis at his work, there was a tragedy. You probably read it on the news. There was a young father, he's 40, 41, goes off to work, and then a phone call comes. Your husband has been killed at work. He never went home to his wife and children. He was killed tragically at work. When he went off to work on that morning, on Wednesday morning, I'm sure that there was, they probably had things planned for the weekend. They probably had a whole life ahead of them planned, but that tragedy hit them. And life can be so short and things can happen. And so we've always got to make sure that we are ready to stand before the righteous judge, ready to stand before our God, and to know with a complete confidence that we have a confidence before him, that we don't have to hang our head in shame, but we can be unashamed as we stand before our Father in heaven. And so we need to make sure that we're right with God. The very first thing is to be ready, is to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, a few scriptures this morning, they're written down so you can remember them. You don't have to look them up, they'll be on the screen. But in 1 John chapter 5, 11 and 12, and it makes it very clear to us, it says this, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Very, very simple. And so in the race of life, in terms of being everything that God wants us to be, you've started the race. If you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've started that walk and the plans and purposes of God. You've either got life or you haven't got life. If you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have life. If you haven't done that, haven't made that commitment, and if there's people here this morning, you haven't actually done that, you haven't actually begun, you're not even ready for the race of life, for what God has ahead of us. And so he makes it very clear. You either have Jesus Christ or else you don't. You have life or you don't have life. He makes it very, very plain. It says in Colossians 1, it says this. It says, once you were alienated from God, you were separated from God, you had no part in God. You were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. And so the only way to be unashamed before God and to stand before the righteous judge is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to acknowledge what he did upon the cross, that he died upon the cross, that he was sacrificed in our place, took our sin upon himself, that we might not have the penalty for our sin, but he took the full penalty himself. And so the very first thing is to come into that relationship with God. We were enemies of God. Scary thing to live as an enemy of God if we don't know God, if we're not following after God. But as we come into relationship with our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, and we apprehend that, there's the promise of a new life that we have in him. And no longer are we separated from God or alienated from him. Romans 5:1-2 puts it this way. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope in the glory of God. If you want to start in the purposes and the plans what God has for you for your life, first thing you need to do is to be ready to run that race. The starting point is to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not enough to be a good person. Not enough to believe in God. I believe in God, but it's not enough. And we'll see that in the scripture in just a moment. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's coming into a relationship with him to apprehend what he did on the cross for everyone, but for those who grab a hold of that, take that sacrifice for themselves, they're the ones that enter in to the promise. It says in Ephesians 1:13, it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to his praise and glory. When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you acknowledge the sacrifice that he made upon the cross, that when you turn away and say, Lord, I don't want to live the muck of my life anymore. Lord, I've mucked it up. I've messed it up. Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need your cleansing. I need a fresh start. Lord, I need a life. I need a purpose. I need a hope. When we do that, when we come to that point, the scripture tells us that God's Holy Spirit comes and indwells within our heart and in our life. God puts a deposit of his divine nature within ourselves. What an amazing thing that is. And so once we come to that point, that's where we're really at the starting point. That's where we're ready. I want to have a quick look at some examples in Acts. Just very quickly, let's have a look at the book of Acts. And you can turn to this. It will be on the screen, but I may share a little more than what actually comes up on the screen. And this is about Philip. Philip was serving the Lord and preaching to the Lord. The Lord spoke to him and said that there's this guy in a chariot, a very wealthy guy. In fact, he was the treasurer of Ethiopia, of the nation of Ethiopia. He was actually the treasurer, and he was sitting in a chariot. The Holy Spirit says to Philip, go over to a certain place. So he goes there, doesn't know what am I going here for, goes to a certain place. When he goes there, he sees this guy in a chariot. The Lord tells him to go up to him. Guy's there reading Isaiah, has no idea what he's reading. And so we'll pick it up. Where are we? Verse 30. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said in verse 31, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch said to Philip, tell me, what's he talking about? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? And so Philip, verse 35, Philip began in that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. And so he learns about Jesus Christ. He learns, and this was someone, remember this guy had gone up to, for a reason, he'd gone up to Jerusalem, he'd gone there to worship. So this is a guy who believed in God, in fact, even went to worship God. And yet, in all of that, he still did not know what it meant, the good news of Jesus Christ. He did not have a permanent relationship with him. He did not come into that relationship with Jesus Christ. And some people are like that. They can religiously worship God. They've got an awareness of God. They can worship God. But this guy here, he needed to make his own personal commitment to Christ. It's making a commitment to Christ. This guy was a good guy. He'd gone, traveled from his own native country to another country, Jerusalem, that he might worship God, but he still had to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And until we do that, some people here, you might do that, you might go to church and you know, I believe in God and you know, I go to worship God, but you've still never personally come and committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to do that. That means you're ready. When we do that, we're ready to begin to start all that God has for us. And maybe there are people here this morning that you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. You may believe in God. You may have a heart towards God, but you've never actually got to the starting line to begin God's plan and purpose. I encourage you this day, even as Pastor Patricia, even around the communion table, was sharing, this is your day. Don't miss this opportunity today to begin what God has for the rest of your life. So to get ready, second thing that every person needs to do is once that we're ready, once that we've accepted Christ and we have salvation in him, we have the promise of eternal life, the next thing that we need to do is a simple thing, is to be baptized. It's the next thing. It's very important to be baptized. If you're going to go forth and everything that God has for you, you've got to come to Christ. Second step is to be baptized. And it describes it like this in 1 Peter verse 3, verse 20-21. It says, in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, and in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, so it's not a bath, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you need to do that. If you're here today and you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't been baptized, you need to get set. You ready? Set. You need to do that. It's so important to be baptized. Some people think it's an optional thing. It's not an optional thing. It's a part of our commitment to following Christ, is that we give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing that we do is we be baptized. It's so important. It's an important part of our Christian walk that we are baptized. And Jesus demonstrated to us in Matthew 3 is the story where Jesus is baptized. And Jesus, when he goes to John the Baptist says to him, he says, you're coming to me. Shouldn't I go to you that you might baptize me? And Jesus said, no. He says, no, it's necessary to fulfill all righteousness. It's a necessary thing. Jesus modeled that for us. To be baptized is so important. It's a part of that. It's part of fulfilling all righteousness, Jesus said. Scripture says that when Jesus was baptized, he went down in the water, and that's how we baptize people, right down in the water for full immersion. They're covered in. The word baptized means literally to dip. So they dipped right in. Everyone knew exactly what it meant. They knew what baptism was. They knew what it meant. People are dipped in, baptized, and when Jesus came up out of the water, it says, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, descended upon Christ, and the words from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. It's so important to follow that. And really, I struggle with anyone who says that they're a Christian and I follow Jesus Christ, but they don't follow through with baptism. Because if you give Jesus your life, you say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I give you my life. I'm going to be obedient to you. Well, then the next thing is to be baptized. And perhaps if you haven't been baptized here this morning, I encourage you, that's the next thing, is to be baptized. So important that we do get baptized. And it's very important because it helps us to seal in our own heart an understanding what Jesus did on the cross. He didn't just die on the cross, but Jesus was gloriously risen from the dead. And it's so important that we seal that understanding and that resurrection life to understand the importance of that, the certainty of that, to have that sealed in our own heart. It talks about having a conscience. It's about having a conscience that is clear. And there's nothing like the cleansing that you feel when you come up out of the waters of baptism to feel new and fresh and clean. It says in Romans 6, it says this, and don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Some people struggle with living a new life, but you come, give your life to Christ, you get baptized in water, then there's a capacity that's upon you. The Holy Spirit was within our lives. We buried therefore with him in baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we certainly will also be united with him in his resurrection. So important that we get baptized. That story that we read about Philip and this Ethiopian, this treasurer of Ethiopia, first thing that he does is he believed in God. He had an awareness of God. He has Jesus explained to him what it means to have the life in Christ. He understands it. The very first thing he says is, well, there's some water, can I get baptized? And that's the immediate thing, is to get baptized. You don't have to wait. Some people think, I have to wait until I'm holy enough now and I'm righteous enough and then I'll get baptized, which is crazy thinking, really. Because if we waited, any of us waited until we're good enough for God, we're going to be waiting for eternity, because we're never going to be good enough on our own. But baptism is a celebration of everything that Jesus has done, is that when we were not worthy, he made us worthy by his sacrifice. And it's so important. So it's never too early to be baptized. Never too early to be baptized. The important thing about baptism is understanding, that you understand what salvation means. And then the next thing is that we seal that with baptism. In Acts 10, Acts chapter 10, let's have a quick look there. It's the story of Peter with Cornelius and his family. And he begins to share with them. He's talking to them about what it is to be a Christian. He's talking about that. This Cornelius was a centurion. He also had an awareness of God. In fact, he also was a devout man. He had a worship of God in his heart, but he didn't know Christ. He was a very generous man, giving to the poor and the sick, and a good man, still needed to come into a relationship himself with Jesus Christ. And so Peter's there sharing with him and with all the family. And it says in verse 44 of Acts 10, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come up with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. And remember, up until this stage, they would think it was only under the Jews. For the Holy Spirit was poured upon them. And how did they know the Holy Spirit had been poured upon these people? It says in verse 36, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And so these people that were crying out to God, they'd given their heart to the Lord, and then they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that, how did they know that? What made them conclude? Hang on, even the Gentiles have been filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? It says here that they were speaking in tongues, a special prayer language that we have, which is so powerful that we are to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when sometimes you don't know what to pray, sometimes you don't have any idea, you just sometimes don't even know how you feel about a situation, but Lord, you want to do what's right, you want God's will in it, and you can pray in tongues in this prayer language. It's your own spirit. You're a body, you're a mind, you're a spirit. Your spirit rises up and begins to pray and cry out to the living God. Such a powerful way to pray. And it's the seal or the sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's the third thing. It's really the part that's going to help us to go. One thing to give your life to Christ, and then you seal that through baptism. And the third step along the journey, because we've got a whole life ahead of us to run a race. We want to be like Paul, who looked back and says, I've run a good race. I fought a good fight. That's how we want to do. So the first thing is we give our life to Christ. Second thing is we get baptized. And the third thing is that we get filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit coming upon us. That's such another important part of that. When the disciples, just what Jesus said to the disciples in Luke 24:49, he says to them, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power on high. Now, these disciples had already done the first couple of steps, but Jesus said to them, he says, okay, you know me, you're in relationship with me. You would have been baptized. And that now comes to the point now where they need to be ready to go, because they've got a whole journey ahead of them. They've got a race to run, a life ahead of them. And then the next step is to be filled, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now remember, when you're a Christian, you've already got the Holy Spirit indwelling within your life. Scripture tells us that. We have the indwelling. It's the seal, the divine nature that he's implanted, impregnated within our lives. He's giving us the Holy Spirit. But he tells us there's something else that to wait for, and that is where we are clothed on power in high. We're baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. And he told the disciples to wait for that to happen. And we find that happening in the book of Acts. Jesus said to them, you will receive power when my Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. Power in your life. Some Christians that are good, faithful people and love God, but to know the power of God in your life. This has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is sealed with that transaction with the cross where we give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is sealed by then. This is not about salvation. This is about power in our lives. It's about a supernatural, divine enabling and empowering in our life, because we've got a race to run, and it's not always a good race. And sometimes there is some fights and battles to go, but ultimately being filled or empowered by the Holy Spirit is what helps us to go forth, to go, be ready, to set, to go, because that's what God wants us to do. That's what he's called us to do as a church and as a people. And we need everyone. It's the whole body. We're really going to grow. It's everyone to be going. And if you're going to go, you need to go in the power of the Almighty God and the anointing of the power of his Spirit upon your life. And there's people here that I know today that have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, saved. Your salvation is secure because that was accomplished by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. But you don't know that empowering upon your life. It tells us in Acts, it says here in Acts 8, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria accepted the word of God. One of the places that Philip went was to Samaria. And as he was sharing with people and telling them about the love of God and preaching to them, people there, that they came into a knowledge of Christ. He says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not come upon them. They'd simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And so they believed in Christ, they'd been baptized. But the apostles came and checked them out. You guys been filled with the Holy Spirit? Laid hands upon them and they got filled with the Spirit of God. And that would have totally changed and transformed their lives and their ability to run God's race and to go and to be the witness. Because ultimately being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not about speaking in tongues. Praying in tongues is so important. Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, I praise God, I pray in tongues more than any of you. Because he knew the value of building ourselves up in the Spirit, building the Spirit man. People build their bodies up, making themselves strong. Some need to do it a little bit more. Some people educate their minds, but not many people are there really building their Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is what builds up the Spirit man. So important to have that dynamic in the life of every single believer, to be praying in the Spirit. But these people described here, believed, baptized, hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. So the apostles came to them and said, okay, you need to be baptized. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to pray and lay hands on them. Acts 19 gives us a similar story, which is Paul in Ephesus. You might want to quickly turn there. Acts 19. Acts chapter 19, verses 1-6. Now, these are some very basic things here. But I know there's people here that haven't done maybe one of those three things or maybe all of those three things. And we want to be everything that God has made us to be. And so we've got to be ready, set, and go in the plans and purposes of God. Acts 19, an interesting little passage. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Fair enough question. They're believers. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we've not even heard there was a Holy Spirit. They know about Christ. They would have been baptized. I said, what's this Holy Spirit stuff? What does it mean? You know, we don't know. We've never even heard of it. What's this about being filled with the Spirit? What's this about praying the supernatural empowering upon our lives that we might be Christ's witnesses to the ends of the earth? What about the prayer language, the divine prayer language that we're able to pray in, that we're able to express even the very heart of God as we pray? We haven't even heard about that stuff. We're Christians, we're saved, we're going to heaven, we've got the promise of eternal life, but we haven't even heard about this stuff, and that's what they're saying. They said, no, verse 2, we've not even heard there was a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked them, well, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord. So they were baptized under John, but they weren't baptized to become Christians. Under John was saying, prepare the way for the Lord to have a repentance and turn your heart towards God. But now Christ had come and Christ had died upon the cross. They needed now to be baptized as they were. And it says, when Paul placed his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there was about 12 of them in all. And see, some people are like that. They said, we don't even know about the Holy Spirit. And I don't know where you are. I think there's a lot of us that are ready, set, go. But maybe we're ready to go, but we're not going. And that's what we'll talk about just quickly in a moment. But if you're here this morning and you know that God's got a plan for your life, and he has, God's got a plan for every single person. And it's our heart that you will be everything that God has made you to be. He's got an incredible call upon your life, incredible potential within your life. You're here to make a difference in the earth. You're not just passing through, biding your time until you will inevitably die. You're here to make an impact upon this world, to make an internal impact upon this world. And for every life that you touch for Christ has an internal, eternal implication. What an amazing, awesome thing that is. So if you're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, then you need to get ready. You need to be ready before to stand before your Maker, for you will die. And I don't know where that man was who was at the wharves working on the docks when that steel 3 tons came and crushed him to death. I don't even know that man. I don't know where he was before God. But I'm sure he thought he had the rest of his life ahead of him. And then what an awesome tragedy. What a tragedy for the family. And we don't know what our time is. And we want to be ready. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, then today you need to be ready. If you haven't taken that next step, then you need to do that. It's necessary to fulfill all righteousness to be baptized. Oh, I love the Lord, but if you really love the Lord, you will obey him. And a part of obeying him is to make that public confession of Christ through baptism. If you're here today and you think you're a Christian and you love Jesus, and I'm sure you do, then let's go the next step. Because it's important, not an optional, not I'll think about it, I need to pray about it. You need to be baptized. Very clear. Very clear. Jesus made it very clear. And then also for us, when Jesus said to them, he said that when he spoke to them in Mark 16, when he spoke over them, he prophesied, when he spoke, he said, yeah, they're going to lay hands upon the sick and they recover. They'll pick up deadly things that will not harm them. He said they will speak in other tongues. And Jesus prophesied and declared that would happen. But to be filled with the Spirit of God is so important that you might go, so that you can confidently and boldly declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what you're here for. That's how we're going to grow. We're growing in God, and it's so important, all those other things I mentioned before, but it's so important that you're filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not empowered, that you have that prayer language, then get ready to go. Be empowered to go, to be that witness that Christ has called you to be. So important. And that mandate is for every one of us to go, to let people know. We all know people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. every one of us. We've been reaching out to our neighbour, and again, we just encourage you to keep him in prayer. We've been reaching out the last few months to him. He's let us pray with him on a few occasions, and but you know, we got him along, and they invited him along. They came to home group, as you said, and know that he was there on the Tuesday night. A week later, he's in hospital, and now they're counting down the days until he dies. Without a miracle, he'll be dead in a number of days. Within a week, he's at our home group. Within a week later, our neighbour has been given a number of days, maybe a couple of weeks. And so you just never know with people. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just speaking a reality. It's a reality for us. You know, we're crying out and praying for him and praying for that family. And the parents don't speak English, which makes it really difficult. But we've been able to make a good connection. That's a wonderful thing that's God been able to work through there. But you never know. So I just encourage everyone else to go. But if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to struggle with the courage to do that. You're going to struggle with knowing, when do I go? What do I say? You know, Philip, he was one, as we read, the Holy Spirit said, just go here, talk to them now. But you're going to find it really hard if you're not filled with the Spirit to be directed by him, to know where he's saying to go, who to speak to, so that you might go. So I want to pray for three people this morning. We've got a big future ahead of us for the next 25 years. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. He might be 50 years, he might be 100 years, he might be 25 days. I know there's an election coming up really soon. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But when Jesus does come back, we want to be ready, and we want to have as many people that we could possibly have touched to have touched them. As many people that God has put across your path, the people that he's related you to, the people that he's put you in the same street as, the people that he's put you in the same workplace as, in the same school as, the same university as, the people that God has connected us to. We want to see as many as we can in the kingdom of God. And we want to go forth and proclaim that people might know the love of Jesus Christ. So three lots of people this morning. I want to pray for two of those lots of people this morning. If you have not started, you're not ready, you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, don't muck around. Don't muck around with it. This is the day to give your life to Jesus Christ. And I spoke about those people that, yeah, they worship, had an awareness of God and worship God, but they needed to come into a personal relationship with Christ. If you're that person today, one of those people today, then we'd love for you to come forth and to pray with you. If you need to be baptized, we're not going to baptize you right now. But if you need to be baptized, you need to come and see us and say, yeah, look, I love Jesus, I really do. And I want to honor him and I want to serve him, but gee whiz, I just haven't been baptized. I haven't done that. I didn't realize it was so essential, so critical, so important that I did that. And so I want to get baptized. I do want to get baptized. You're here this morning and you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. You haven't been baptized in the Spirit of God with the evidence of being able to pray in that supernatural prayer language. You haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I'd like to pray with you today, because we've got 25 years ahead of ourselves and we want people that are ready to run the race that Christ has for us as a church and as a people. And we're not going to do it unless we're all running together. We're all on the same page, all full of the Spirit of God, all passionate about God, his kingdom and his purposes, and full of the Spirit. So if you're amongst those two groups, you don't know Jesus Christ, we'd love to pray with you today. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of praying in other tongues, that prayer language, that divine enabling to pray in a prayer language under God that only God knows and will understand, he grabs a hold of that. The scripture tells us it can be, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says it's either the tongues of men or the tongues of angels. It can be an angelic tongue, what the language that angels speak. It can be human language that you've never learned. It doesn't matter. It's your spirit praying to God, and to be able to do that is very powerful. But ultimately, it's not even about that. It's about being the witness to the Lord to the ends of the earth. From your front door where your neighbors are, your back door, all the way through, even to the ends of the earth. So I want us to stand this morning. I want to pray for some people this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ, then you need to prepare your heart just to come forward at the front. And it's a step. If someone's going to run a race, they get up to the line, they get up to the starting blocks, and they're ready to go. And maybe if you haven't done that, the Lord is saying to you this morning, I need to get up to the starting blocks. I've got a whole life ahead of me and I'm not even starting yet. Then I need to come. You need to come up to the line today. And you coming forward today is you saying, I am ready to run this race. I want to live the life that God has made me to live. I want to be the person that I'm supposed to be. So you need to do that. You haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. you haven't been empowered with the Holy Spirit, that you're able to go forth and to witness in the power of God, to be able to pray in that heavenly prayer language, to know the power of the risen Christ, the power of His Holy Spirit living, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, to live and walk in that power in your life. And we'd love to lay hands upon you also. If you have other needs, we'll pray with you, but particularly those two groups of people this morning. So I'm just going to pray for us, for those that need to receive Christ, and you begin to make your way ready to come forward, and those that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to come forth this day. If you need to be baptized, you can talk to us afterwards about baptism. But Father, I just thank you. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Grow Church, Father. I thank you, Lord, that the church, though, is not this building. But Father, the church is people, Lord, people that are joined together, Lord, that have the one most important thing in common, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all those that are here that do know the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, I pray right now for all those people that might be here this morning who never come into that relationship. They've never come and said, yes, I want what Jesus did. I want it for me. He did it for everyone. I need it for my own life. Lord, I pray that you speak to them and touch them right now, Father. And Lord, for those, Lord, that are not empowered by your Holy Spirit, Father, I pray, Lord, that they will come and say, yes, I need that power in my life. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Father, I pray that you stir their hearts even now. And Father, for all of us today, Father, even those, Lord, that, Lord, need to be baptized, I pray, Lord, for conviction will come upon them that, Lord, they'll do the right thing, Lord, and follow through, Lord, in obedience under you, Lord, to follow your example. But Father, for every one of us that's here, Lord, maybe those, Lord, that know you, Lord, that have been baptized and empowered by your Spirit, Father, I pray, Lord, that we'd just be so zealous about your kingdom, Father, Lord, that we're going to speak the word, Lord, that we'll let people know about the love of Jesus Christ. Father, that we'll see people come into relationship with you. Father, I pray that you stir our hearts, Lord, that we might go, Lord, that we might speak, Lord. Yes, Lord, with sensitivity, Lord. Father, but Lord, with authority, Lord, and a sureness, Lord, of what to say, Lord, as you give us the words to say. So, Father, I pray, Lord, as we look forward to our next 25 years, Father, we're going to see great growth, Lord, as we see people going out, Lord, and proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with confidence, Lord, empowered and full of your Holy Spirit. So, Father, we honor you and we give you glory and praise this day in Jesus' name. So we're going to pray for those people now.